Hello, welcome to Globe Talks, a podcast designed to encourage and strengthen our church family one conversation at a time. My name's Anahi and I'm working as a ministry trainee for Globe this year. Today, I have the pleasure of sitting down with both Ryan and Cara to chat a bit about Bible reading. Thank you so much, guys, for making the time. Can you just briefly introduce yourselves?
Yeah, hi, I'm Ryan. So I've been a member at Globe since 2017, and this year I'm also a ministry trainee.
Hi, I'm Cara, and I've been a member at Globe for just over a year.
Fantastic. So first things first, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Praise God for sustaining us thus far. So the festive season can be a real rollercoaster, right? Spending concentrated time with family can be such a joyful, peaceful time. But also, we know that it can be a time of frustration, sorrow, and chaos. And I don't know about you guys, but amongst the busyness, if I'm not intentional, one of the things that I find that often takes a backseat is my Bible reading, which I suspect is probably a common experience, right? Mm-hmm. So as we kick off this new year, I imagine one thing that we are probably thinking through, or at least will be in the next few weeks, is how we can embed Bible reading into our lives more. And for those of us who might have a good pattern, I guess we're thinking, how can we continue this? So over the course of this conversation, I would really love to hear some of the different ways that you guys build Bible reading into the rhythms of your life, as well as thinking through what it might look like in different seasons of life. So, for example, what does it look like for the shift worker or the new parent? How do they engage with this topic? So we'll talk generally about struggling to read the Bible and some other tools that you can use to help engage with God's word. But before we dive into all that, I guess it'd be really helpful to chat a little bit about what is the Bible and why do we bother reading it? Ryan, can you kick us off?
Yeah, sure. So I have two brief things to say. And I think the first thing is that I've just found that the Bible contains words of life. And so in John's gospel, after delivering some hard teaching, lots of people desert Jesus, and he asked the disciples if they wanted to leave too. And Peter's response, I think, is a really key bit. And he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I just find time and again, when I've been in like difficult spaces, I just come back to the fact that it's as I read the Bible that God leads me to that place of being able to say, there's nowhere else. And that's a pretty big thing, I think, in a culture where there's a lot of different influences and voices. And secondly, I would say the Bible teaches us endurance and encourages us. So Paul, towards the end of Romans, says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Life is hard, and following Jesus is hard too, while also joyful. And I think just reading the Bible and receiving from him what you need to keep going and doing it joyfully. And as you pray through the Bible, God uses that time to teach and encourage you. So that's what I would say.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good. I think it's so incredible that these words we read in the Bible are not merely words on a page, but they are words of eternal life. It's amazing how extraordinary the Bible is. The fact that it's made up of 66 different books, written by more than 40 authors in three different languages, and yet we can trace one unique story that God tells of his redemptive plan for humanity throughout history, all of which finds its fulfillment in Jesus. This is because the Bible was written by human authors, but it is divinely inspired by God. We see this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17, which says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So for the Bible to be God-breathed essentially means that each word in the Bible came from the heart of God and was written by humans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, as we read it, we can be confident that what is contained in the Bible is what God wants to communicate to us. It's remarkable that God, the creator of all things, speaks to his people. And a primary way that he does this is through his word, the Bible. Ryan, you mentioned just now how the Bible teaches and encourages you. And we see this in Hebrews 4, verse 12, which says, "The word of God is alive and active." And it goes on to say, "It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So when we pick up our Bibles to read, we're not just reading irrelevant words on a page. No, as we read the Bible, we are confronted with the living words of God that has the power to work in our lives in a profound way and change us to make us more like Jesus.
Yeah, I can't really improve upon that. To answer what is the Bible, I would say that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, and sufficient Word of God. We heard that in what Onahi just read in 2 Timothy. It is the primary way that God has chosen to reveal himself to us, and it is amazing that he has been so kind as to reveal himself in such a clear and direct way. Mm. Psalm 19:7-8 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." And to answer why do we bother reading it, I would just say two simple things. One, because we're commanded to. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 encourages us, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates." Also, Jesus set the perfect example for us in this. He knew the scriptures inside and out and spent his life speaking them and teaching them. We should ask him to help us follow him in that way. Secondly, if we love God and want to know more of him, reading the Bible should be our delight. Psalm 1:2 says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night." Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." And verses 10 and 11 say, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And to echo what Ryan said earlier, it is how God encourages us and gives us hope, as we heard in Romans 15:4. I would really encourage everyone to go away and read Psalm 119. It is all about the psalmist's love of the word of God. We can echo these words to praise God when we are delighting in his words, and also as a prayer to ask him to help us when our hearts feel cold and we struggle to find joy in it. Mm. I also think it's really important to remember that all of the Old Testament and all of the law points to Jesus. We hear him say that in the Gospels, where he says, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill them."
Mm. That's great. Thanks, Cara. I really love that language of meditating on the word of God all day long. I think it says about when you sit down in your house, when you walk on the street. That's pretty comprehensive. But for us to hide God's truth in our hearts, we have to know God's word. And in order to know it, we have to read it. So I'm really interested to hear what your time with God looks like, both on a good day and what it looks like on a hard day as well. Because let's be honest, some days reading the Bible and spending time with God is such a thrilling thing and it's such a delight. But other days, it's really tough. So how can you guys speak into that a little bit?
Mm. Well, personally, I have found that I really struggle to be consistent if I don't have some kind of a plan to follow. It really helps me to stay consistent and connected to what I'm reading if I'm following some sort of read through the Bible in a year plan. So even if I fall behind and it takes me longer than a year to finish it, it still gives me a path to follow. This year, I'm actually doing something new. I've started a reading group at Globe for us to read through the Bible together, which I've never done before. So I'm really excited to see how God encourages and teaches us through this. And it's not too late to join if anyone listening is interested.
That's fab. I will definitely be joining.
Yeah, I think I generally just take a book of the Bible and sort of read it through. And I try to alternate some Old Testament, some New Testament, so I don't just, you know, become like a red letter Christian and read just the Gospels. Mm-hmm. But so, for example, earlier in the year, I read through Matthew, and now I'm reading Isaiah. But also, I think sometimes I just sort of prayerfully consider, like, what do I feel like I need to, like, press into mm-hmm. a bit more? So before starting as a ministry trainee, I felt pretty like spiritually attacked and quite like low generally, and I was really intentionally asking people pray for protection and pray for my joy. Mm-hmm. And they did, and God really answered that. And so when I kind of came through that season, as I started this year, I was like, just got to lean into thinking about joy a bit mm-hmm. more. And so I just spent a couple weeks like reading through Philippians, and it was mm-hmm. so good. So I would say that's kind of how I pick what to read. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of how I actually spend the time, I find a bit of structure helpful, not because I want to be wedded to the structure, but just because I think it makes it easier to do it consistently if I've made a plan for the time mm-hmm. and it's more likely that I'll actually do it, and you sort of get into a rhythm. So I tend to kind of think about my time in three chunks, really. I think firstly, I want to be conscious in how I approach God. And so my general principle with that is that I think approaching God like how he wants to be approached, and there's lots in the Bible about how he tells us to do that. But I think a couple things, and there's a lot more that we have than we have time to say here, but a couple of the things are, you know, he's holy, so I want to come reverently. He's also near, and Jesus describes himself as our friend, and so we also want to kind of come kind of confidently, but also we kind of want to know how we are as we approach him. And we're people who want to come with empty hands, with nothing to give, and say, you know, he's filled the hungry with good things. We want to come for him to fill us. And then once I've kind of spent time praying and like preparing, I then just sort of get into whatever the passages I'm reading that day. And I personally, I'm someone who always reads with a pen in my hand, because I sort of learn by like doing, and like I remember things by like writing them or scribbling things down. So I use a journaling Bible or a sort of iPad to like screenshot, so I can scribble on the passage as well. And I just annotate, highlight some things, scribble some prayers, things that are like have encouraged me, things I find confusing, so prayers like God help me understand. And I think I find that as a way to connect with it helps me. So you just gotta find whatever works for you. But then like lastly, and this is a bit that I always feel like I'm tempted to like squeeze and rush, but I want to grow in not doing that, is to really kind of distill and really think through like, what is the thing God's been saying to me, and then turn that to prayer, to pray and to say, God, will you help me to live this out? Will you help me to not just store up and treasure this truth for me, to comfort me, but to say, to ask the Holy Spirit, like, who could I encourage this truth with? Who could I take this truth to? Who could I speak it to today?
Yeah.
But I as I say, I feel like that's a bit that always gets squeezed, and it's definitely a growth area.
Yeah. Ryan, I love that intentionality and reverence that you bring to your Bible time. I really appreciate what you just said there about approaching God, how he wants to be approached, really getting into the passage and then also praying through that stuff as well. So then it like seeps into your heart. I think that's really good. Imagine having such a structure is probably really helpful for some. I'm just wondering, is there a particular time in the day that you like to read, or does it kind of vary?
Mostly I've been quite a good routine of doing it in the morning. And I think that's so I have some truth to keep kind of coming back to throughout the day. And that's particularly why I like to sort of try and distill into like a short phrase, like, here's the thing that God has been like laying on my heart today. So when I'm walking along, it's much easier to remember a 5 or 10 word little phrase than it is like 20 verses of whatever book of the Bible I've been reading. And so I think, yeah, definitely in the morning. And I think, yeah, coming back to it helps me to just love Jesus' voice and worship him throughout the day, so it doesn't just become a thing that's confined to the half an hour or whatever I give to it in the morning. And also, if I do it in the morning, I often like walk to work or something, and it's an opportunity to use that time and to turn it into a prayer walk and to use what I've been reading then to pray.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think if I could bottle that and take it home with me and it would work for me, I would definitely do that. But I'm aware that this is your ideal situation based off some other conversations we've had before. But what does it look like on a bad day or in a hard season?
Absolutely. So sometimes when I'm finding following Jesus hard in this life, like now, there's a defiant joy that just says, like, like the psalmist, like, yeah, I will praise you. But then some days or in some seasons, I just find myself pretty overwhelmed. And I'm like, I can't read the Bible, but I still want to like fill my mind with some good truth. Because even if I'm not doing it, like there is still another voice speaking. So I need that. But on those days when I want to fill myself with the truth, but I can't read, like whatever, I can't read or it's too difficult, I tend to listen to worship songs, which if you think about it are kind of prayers set to music. And I've made playlists for different times of challenge and different challenges. And so as an example, I've got a playlist that I've called The Best Is Yet To Come, which sort of came out of reading Philippians. And they're all songs that I've picked because the lyrics are intentionally about heaven or looking forwards or just some element of groaning forwards. And I just found that helpful.
That's really good. I think I will definitely be searching for that playlist on Spotify. So yeah, that's really insightful actually. I definitely have moments like that as well when I struggle to read God's word for one reason or another. And sometimes just listening to God's truth sung to me really helps to cast my gaze away from my situation and look at the God that I serve and that I worship. So I really love the fact that you brought in worship there. I also find it helpful that actually sometimes just listening to the words of the Bible being read to me, so I use the YouVersion app, that can be really good as well, just filling my mind with truth. And sometimes that can really help lift me out of a lull. So I particularly love this thing you said about worship, because realistically, my time with God is a real mix of worshiping God, reading the Bible, praying. And I love the fact that I can just be pretty fluid and be free with that time to dip in and out of different aspects of spending time with him. I love what you said there about focusing particularly on God's truth in the morning and how you can keep coming back to that during the day. So though I would love to be someone who can do that, get up every morning and read the Bible, have my spiritual food as I'm having my physical food, it's just not something that I've developed. It's not a habit that I find come naturally to me. And I think that this is particularly shaped by a pattern that I adopted when I was working as a full-time nurse before starting as a midwifery trainee. So as a shift worker, I did not have much in time of a regular routine. So when I had a shift, I would... Yeah, probably I'd have to be out the house by 7 a.m. and I wouldn't get back in to 9 p.m. So that didn't really leave much time for a deep dive into the passage. And from week to week, the times I had a shift was different. So I found it really hard to kind of get into a regular routine. But what I found is that actually I had a specific routine for when I was working a shift and a different routine for my days off. And that's sort of how I used, that was sort of the scaffolding that I used during those 4 years. So when I was on a shift day, I would literally read the verse of the day on the YouVersion Bible app and then do the mini devotional when I was on the bus to work. And then on my days off, that was when I was really able to like sink my teeth into the Bible and really enjoy spending like unhurried time with God. And I've actually found that actually, even now that I have more of a routine, I really do love that sort of like unhurried time. So I tend to read more in the evenings because I can just spend as long as I want, like worshiping and reading and praying and things like that. I was actually chatting to a student nurse recently at church about Bible reading, and they said that they read the Bible in the morning whilst having breakfast before shift. So that just goes to show that actually some shift workers are still able to maintain a routine that works for them. But yeah, if you're a shift worker and you feel like the lack of structure makes it really hard for you to consistently read your Bible, don't worry, that's normal. Something that can be particularly helpful is looking at your week and then blocking out time to read the Bible in advance. That's something that really helped me, so that's something that you could try as well. Thank you guys so much for your insights and for sharing your personal experience as well. So we've already touched a bit on this, but I would really love to think a bit more about it. So I want to talk particularly to those people who maybe have a newborn or find that they have literally no time whatsoever to sit down and consistently read the Bible, or just the regular person who is struggling to read the Bible consistently, maybe because they find it boring or hard to understand. What advice would you give to someone who's struggling right now to read the Bible consistently or finding it boring?
Yeah, I would say don't struggle alone. First off, ask God to help you. Like I mentioned before, pray the words of Psalm 119. Ask God to give you a heart that rejoices in hearing his voice and his word. I think it's really important to remember that we need God's help to understand his word. Mm. We see in 1 Corinthians 2 that we need God's help to discern spiritual things. Also in Luke 24, Jesus is talking with some disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And later in verse 31, it says, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him." They needed Jesus to open their eyes to see him clearly. Verse 32 says, "They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So we need God's help to open the scriptures to us and help us see Jesus. Also ask God for forgiveness and repent when we fail. I don't usually skip my daily shower or lunch or miss a release of my favorite TV show or podcast, but why on earth do I sometimes neglect to spend time at the feet of Jesus, listening to the words of the very creator of the universe who has chosen to have a relationship with me? Obedience can be hard, but like Peter, after denying Jesus, repent, run to him, tell him you're sorry, and ask him to help you grow. Secondly, I would say phone a friend. If you're struggling to read your Bible, tell someone in your church family. Ask them to pray for you. Maybe ask them for help and accountability, or start reading together. Whatever you do, don't suffer and drift in silence. And lastly, don't get discouraged and don't give up. Reading a little bit is always better than reading nothing. My dad always says, just move the bookmark. So if you've started a yearly Bible reading plan and you're way behind, don't worry about it. Pick up where you left off and just read as much as you can that day, even if it's just a part of a chapter. Or try reading a psalm every day. Or if you're in a particularly busy or stressful season of life, perhaps you could take advantage of tools like an audio Bible. You already kind of mentioned that before. Mm. The YouVersion app has a free audio Bible feature. Also, there's another app that I really like called Dwell. It requires a subscription, but you can choose from several different voices and even ambient background music to listen to the Bible. So perhaps you can listen to the Bible on your commute, or if you're awake in the night, like you said, with a newborn or whatever. I think using tools like these can be helpful, especially during, you know, really extreme seasons of life, which we can all experience. So something is always better than nothing.
I'd really echo Cara that it doesn't have to be a solo activity. And I once heard someone say that the door is the hardest piece of equipment in the gym. Mm-hmm. And I think the point, presumably, that they were going for is just that going at all is sometimes the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. But like once you're there, you're probably never going to say that you regret it. Like, even if, for example, praying is hard, I'm never going to say, oh, I really regret that time I spent praying. Mm. And so I guess sometimes having someone alongside you helps keep you motivated. And that's particularly like on the days when you're kind of really not feeling it, or like everything feels like it's opposing you doing the thing that you know is for your good. So I guess I would say, similar to, so I think Cara mentioned, anyone listening who is struggling with that, just be like bold and like ask a friend or a couple of friends. It doesn't have to just be one-to-one. It can be sort of three or four people to read through the same Bible plan or the same devotional together. And that's a pretty good thing to do. But also I would say like make it a regular part of your friendship to like ask one another, what are you enjoying about Jesus today or recently? And how has he been speaking to you? And I found it really helpful to do that in my own friendships, because I found that if I wasn't able to answer that question, it would be a red flag to me that I had not been making enough time and setting aside enough time. And I guess like there is a sense in which actually doing that might feel slightly awkward if you're sort of hanging out with your friends, just grabbing coffee, going for a walk, and you suddenly pivot to say, so how has Jesus been speaking to you recently? Or what have you been learning in the Bible? But I think we just got to push through the awkwardness of doing that. Yeah. Because it's what the fruit of it is so worth it.
I would so agree with that. Like, I'm on the receiving end of that. When I used to go on one-to-ones with Annalise a couple of years ago, I was pretty new to the church and pretty new to London, and she was so consistent in asking me how my Bible reading was. And I actually got to this moment when I was like, oh, I'm meeting Annalise on Tuesday, I should probably like have an answer for this question, because she always asks. And it's really, really protective. Like, I really want us to normalize talking about like the real struggles in our life and our everyday interactions with our Christian friends. And I was actually chatting to a mum at church recently who said that she was finding it really hard to read her Bible consistently since becoming a mum, which makes a lot of sense, because after you become a mum, like, so much of your life changes. And she shared that actually one of the things that was really helping her was when friends would come hang out with her and her baby, they would naturally get the Bible open and read with her. And she shared how encouraging that this was. So I definitely would agree that reading together is a great way to go about it, especially if you're finding it hard.
Yeah, and I guess I just had like one other thing on that. I think reading the Bible, if you imagine it's like a meal, like you need to eat every day, and you need every meal to sustain you. And that goes for the ordinary ones that you don't remember as much as the ones that are amazing that you're going to remember for years. But not every time you read the Bible will feel like one of those memorable, glorious feasts of a meal, which is kind of okay and it's normal. It will sometimes, but it won't always. And sometimes it will be kind of one of those quick meals or a quicker meal where you're sort of just eating to like fill yourself up so you have what you need to go and do what you need to do. And so, but there is, as I say, but there is also sometimes when it will be like a banquet. And I think if there's been a run of times when I feel like my diary's been really squeezed, or I just haven't made the time for whatever reason, I do try and set aside a longer period of time to, or schedule what I call like a feast time, and just spend like intentionally longer doing things like making sure I've spent good time like praying. And I think the thing that runs through my head when I do that is like, I'm going to be here until my heart's glad in Jesus. And that's essentially it. And it's like, I might not have anything planned on a Saturday, but it's like, I've just got a couple hours and it's like, I'll sit here and read and pray until my heart's glad in Jesus.
Yeah. I love that.
That's super helpful. Mm-hmm. So just thinking more specifically about like new parents who might find this particularly tough, like, oh, I would wish to have a Saturday to just sit with Jesus, but I don't. That is completely unrealistic for me. I can barely get 5 hours of sleep overnight. Like, I do not have the energy to do that. So just thinking a bit more about new parents, what are some things that you might have heard that could be helpful for them? Because I know we've talked a lot about how reading God's word is life-giving, and I really want to hold that firmly because that's true, but I also want to affirm that it's okay not to do this fantastically every time. When life feels chaotic, we can trust ourselves to Jesus and we can ask him for his help, but we can also learn from those who have gone before us. So I'm really intrigued to kind of hear from you guys if you've heard any good advice for parents, how they can build Bible reading into their everyday lives. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a parent and I don't have kids, but I've got plenty of parent friends who do. And some parents my friends have said they find it helpful to just regularly build in time to read the Bible with their kids, like from a children's Bible, like the Jesus Storybook Bible or something like that. And maybe do a devotional with their kids, like a short thing in the evening before they go to put them to bed. And one, I think, recommended by some parents is a devotional, I think, called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. And like you said, Nahi, I think it's also important to remember that if you miss a day or just feels quite chaotic, it's still worth doing, which kind of comes back to Cara's point that actually something is better than nothing. And I guess it's probably, if you're thinking about like modeling that to kids, it's about just like building a culture. And just as an aside, as I said, I don't have kids, but I also like love being brought into like ordinary routines in like a family life. Like if I just drop in to see parents with kids, like on my way home from work or something, because they're reliably always around at like dinner time, and then getting the chance to like read the Bible stories with kids, like just use people in the church to do that.
Yeah, people that have more energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's really true. I love what you said there about modeling things for your kids. So when I was talking to Jonty about this, actually, he told me a story of how when he was growing up, his mom would write up Bible verses and put them around the kitchen so she can intentionally meditate on these words when she went about her day. And I really love the simplicity and effectiveness of this practice. So I also grew up in a home with Bible verses written and stuck around the house. And looking back now as an adult, it was such a helpful and great way to keep God's word always before us and embedded in our hearts. And something that, my parents really modeled well for me, and it's something that I still practice now. All right, so just as we wrap up, my final question is, are there any tools that might be helpful to use whilst reading the Bible that you use or that you know of?
Shall I jump in? So I think if you're just kind of picking books of the Bible or reading them, some of them are pretty complex and a lot of the detail will just go over my head. And so I found some commentaries helpful, but I don't mean like really academic ones, because ultimately I still want this to be a devotional time. And one particular series I found helpful is, it's called the God's Word for You series. And there's like a bunch of different ones on a range of Old Testament books, a range of New Testament books. And they're sort of, the chapters are very manageable. They're mostly written by, I think, people who are kind of in pastoral ministry. So they're not written by academics. And I just find them a really good balance. It gives me enough of the essentials of what's going on that I can just then take it and turn that into prayer. And it's got reflective questions in as well. So it is that kind of combination. And they're also often pretty cheap on Kindle. So you can pick them up for like £2 or £3. And I'm not someone who uses particularly Bible reading plans or devotionals. But I have a couple of times done various YouVersion plans. So like, for example, I think earlier in this year, like in the evenings, I just started doing there was like a 12-day plan on the YouVersion app that was based on a worship album. It was the Phil Wickham album. And there was basically a devotional each day for each of the songs on the album, and just like Bible passages. And to be honest, it was just a way to read passages I probably wouldn't have read otherwise.
Nice.
And with a little like reflection on it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I find that having a study Bible handy is really helpful. When I want to dig deeper into a particular passage or read about the historical context of a particular book or something like that, I always reach for my ESV Study Bible. I think that's a handy one. If anyone is interested in starting some kind of a reading plan, but you don't really know where to start, just really practically, one I could recommend is the one that I'm currently doing for 2024, which is called The Daily Bible in Chronological Order. It's arranged by a guy called F. Legard Smith. It's a really great way to take in the whole story of the Bible and just see how all the historical pieces fit together. And another one is the ESV Study Bible 1-Year Reading Plan. This includes daily readings from both the Old and New Testaments, and it can be found within the YouVersion app or as a podcast.
Mm, nice. For me, something that I find particularly helpful is Bible journaling. So I've been doing this probably about 7 years or so, and it just really helps me engage with the text, and also it looks pretty, so that brought me great joy. And kind of like what Ryan was saying about commentaries as well. So the one that I use is one called Enduring Word. And I started using this earlier this year because I was reading through Judges and I was so confused. There's something about the spiritual confusion of the Israelites that I was like, wait, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Like, what is going on here? It was really confusing. So actually reading a commentary was really helpful to just sort of set the context of the day and help you through some of maybe those more challenging parts of scripture. So wonderful stuff, guys. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you both, Ryan and Cara, so much for joining and for your helpful insights that you've shared. Very grateful for both of you. And thank you all for listening. Hope you've been strengthened and encouraged by what you've heard. We've talked about quite a few different things there, but really want to encourage you that the aim is progress, not perfection. So want to challenge you to think of one thing that has resonated with you that you can take forward. But yeah, thank you so much again for listening. See you next time when we pick up our next conversation. Bye for now.